With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Travel Bet Podcast for Saturday the 4th of July, 2020, Independence Day.
Yes!
Everyone's really excited about that, clearly.
Pumped.
I'm joined this week by Andy Vaughan.
Hello.
And Gordo.
Hello.
Yous don't really seem excited about American Independence Day. Literally, just before we've started recording, the greatest bit of irony and story has come out of America. So, America was voting on the mask situation, on whether it should be mandatory or not. Uh-huh. There is only one mayor who has voted against wearing a mask. For your wrestling trivia, can you guess which ex-wrestler, now the mayor of Fort Knox, has voted against wearing a mask in public?
Oh, is it Rey Mysterio? Because he's all... I'm just trying to think of people
who... Clearly you're on the right lines.
I don't know. Who is it?
Kane.
Famous Kane. I was about to say that. Amazing.
Kane is the mayor of Fort Knox and he's just voted not to wear masks.
Well, no wonder. He's had to do it his whole fucking career. He'll be fed up with it. He's the guy that can definitively say how irritating it is.
Yeah, to wear a mask.
Every day, all day. No one else knows. No one else has the level of experience of mask wearing.
That Kane brings to the job.
So, this is the first episode we've done since Liverpool have officially become champions, correct?
Pretty much, I think.
Before the Man City-Chelsea game?
Yeah, it was... Chelsea were good. Really good the week against that. Then they were poor against West Ham.
Yeah. Chelsea were really good against Man City. Again, though, right? We've talked about this. I enjoy VAR. I think VAR is good, right? Mm-hmm. But here is my issue. I watched that game on a Zoom call. I think we actually said this on the Patreon. I watched this game whilst playing poker. Every one of us in the chat watching the Chelsea-Man City game called handball the minute Fernandinho cleared the ball off the line.
Yeah.
Like it was so obvious that he punched it. Yeah, it took like 7 replays in 3.5 minutes for the refs to see it, despite the first replay that was shown
being like
really palming the ball off the line.
Yeah.
I'm like,
he knew as well. Problem. Like, see when you see his face, he's just like, just send me after it.
Yeah, on that, Patreons, thank you very much for the continued support. We had a belting week on the Patreon, which we will only talk about on the Patreon episode.
That's it.
But same idea, quick spiel. If you want to follow us, it's $5 a month to support us, $10 for some extra content, and $15 extra for everything. So that's UFC, horse racing events, any football extra stuff we do, any other sports that we have any knowledge on, we will do a podcast for you. And we'll actually curate it to what you ask us to do. So
exactly.
The people who are supporting us, we really appreciate it. If people are interested, now that we're back at work and looking for more content, $5 is the minimum support and you still get extra stuff with that now the way we're working it just now. The other thing, Andy, the website, that voice. So Gary Black, the producer, has made an excellent website where our Facebook group, our Twitter handles, the podcasts are all stored and all linked. It's travelbet.com. It's very easy to remember. And this now means we don't need to listen to that. Do you think it's Australian? It sounds New Zealand to me.
That computerised voice that Gary added in, I hate that more than possibly anything in the whole world.
Gary's probably going to dub over us.
Yeah, the whole podcast.
Just do it in that voice. Just get a transcript. Oh, man. I don't know why. I just hate it so much. So it's www.trampledbet.com.
Thank you, Andrew. And thank you, listeners. Visit the website and get on board the Patreon train. Choo-choo.
And the Facebook group, if you just search Trample Bet Podcast, the Facebook group has been tremendous recently. See, for people picking out wild bets, there's been like David Kelly's been on an absolute tear.
Oh, he's just unreal.
It's a market I've never even thought to look at. See, like, two goals for one team.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even remotely thought of looking into that. To be honest, I didn't even think of the market existing. I've always just been really lazy on what we're trying to get. But there's been some really good picks. His mate Jamie's joined the group. He had a really good cut in the other night as well. But yeah, keep interacting. Remember, it's all of us against the bookies. So if you're putting on a bet and you like some of the odds, just put them in a chat. Don't be afraid. And see, on the flip side of that, see if somebody puts a bet in that they like and you follow it. You're an adult who makes those decisions. You don't get to then slate that person unless they're called Gordo, okay?
Aye, pretty much. That's the general rule of thumb when it comes to that. Facebook group's been great. I'd seen his coup in the other night where a 93rd minute goal.
Mate, it's been more than one.
I don't even like, do you know that way, like if you start to get a tiny bit annoyed, like I wish I could pick that, and it's like, well, that's money out of the bookie's pocket anyway, so it's not affecting me in any way, so it's good.
Exactly. The job's done. We did alright last week on the weekly podcast. All of the bankers came in, so I had a goal in the first half of the Dortmund-Hoffenheim game, a game in which Hoffenheim opened the scoring. Hoffenheim actually went on to win 4-0 away at Dortmund. You were getting them at odds at 1-4 to score in the first half, but I did not expect that result.
There were some mad results in the German league last week in terms of number of goals, like huge. I was in the Dritte Liga for my banker. I had Bayern 2 away at Carl Zeiss Jena. They went 1-1, so another banker then.
And mine was Real Madrid, who kind of made me sweat for a second half. They scored in 45 minutes, then we're just keeping the ball the second half. So they won 1-0 away from home.
Barcelona are doing their damnedest to screw this up now, man.
Aye.
I had a request a bit on, when was their game? Tuesday or Wednesday against Atletico Madrid? Tuesday night it was. And for the last 15 minutes, I just needed Suarez to get carded for 800 quid. That's all I needed. And he's so tame that he never would need anyone.
Yeah,
There was a couple of times at sea with a crowd, he might have got riled up, but he just seemed so relaxed.
Yeah.
Everyone else was in. Messi was one of the cards because he's been booked like 3 out of 4 times against Atletico Madrid, now 4 out of 5. So he obviously has like a wee nip in him.
That's the other night when Arsenal played with a very, very good performance against Norwich. I had Tierney to be carded. And he was so good that he couldn't get carded. That was the thing. Like he wasn't petulant. He just played really well. And I could be annoyed at him. He played really well. But he didn't even look close to it. Like, do you know when you've got such a cool head when you're up that like you wouldn't go for a niggle on someone. Yeah. Whereas maybe if the game was a bit closer, he might have had to, you know, cement someone.
I mean, the rest of our picks that week, my value outsider, my value was speculative at best, and I've never been more disheartened when I've seen Bayern pretty much put out a full strength side.
Yeah,
away to Wolves, but it was like so disheartening, man. But do you know what the biggest annoyance was, right? You're already missing the crowd, so seeing Bayern 2-0 up, you're hoping that there's at least Wolfsburg have got a bit of motivation from the Hoffenheim score, because they had to outdo Hoffenheim, but Hoffenheim were 3-0 up by about 50 minutes, so both of them were never overturned in a 2-3 goal deficit. Yeah. So there was nothing to play for. It was an awful, awful game. And Wolfsburg also got a man sent off. So that finished them Bayern 3-0. But also, Bayern, I think, missed out in the goal record by like a goal.
Mm-hmm.
The record for top flight goals in one season, they missed out by a single goal. Because they brought on attackers that late on as well. Bayern brought on all their best players.
Let's cement them.
Well, that was the guy almost breaking that almost equaling and breaking that record with only being there since what, the start of December.
Yeah,
because it was awful before that.
Aye, my value was Stuttgart, who lost 3-1. They were awful. They brought it back to 1 each and then ended up losing 3-1. Which I was very happy with the price of that, and it was a short priced value. It was like 5-7 or something. Or maybe less than that, 3-5. But yeah, rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
I'm glad you went first, Gordo, though, because Andy's value is probably the one that I had it on. There's a guy, Chris, that now follows us on Twitter that messaged us saying, as soon as Braunschweig scored, messaged us saying he got it almost 2-1 and what a fucking great shout. And by the time I'd read it,
Jesus,
what a fuck, man.
They really needed to win that game as well. away at Zwickau, and it was 1-1 for most of it, and they scored in the 90th minute to go 2-1 up. And of course, we all get the alert, and we all think, "Phew, they've been battering the goal, brilliant, that's it." And then in stoppage time, they conceded twice and actually lost the game 3-2. It's insane. Absolutely mental.
See, David Kelly posted the group. He was like, someone, I think Jared had posted saying, he's like, "Oh, fucking Braunschweig, that's terrible." David was like, "What happened?" Like, he'd obviously like...
No, David only had them to score 2 goals.
Oh, right.
He was good. What I should have taken was the over 2.5 goals in stoppage time. Because that was mad. And you get games like that now and again. It's just so crazy that it was such an important game for Braunschweig. But again, it's flipped with Würzburger Kickers failing midweek. So Braunschweig now, again, there's only one game to go now. It's all happening in the Dritte Liga. So a win at the weekend would be very good for them.
And neither of our outsiders were even anywhere close. So that was Union Düsseldorf to draw. Union won 3-0. Andy, you had...
I had Silkeborg away at Sonar Jyske, just because I figured the two teams are actually pretty evenly matched and they were 4-1. They lost 1-0.
And I had Malaga to draw. The other team... I had a draw in the Malaga game, sorry. And the other team got a man sent off about 60 minutes in. They lost 2-0. So... Yeah, and then the charity was where the controversy came in. So me and Andy always had a side bet that where is he? Where's the wee man? Get him up here.
The way you get him, aye.
The way you get him. There he is.
Oh, I said it's
sorry, what? Oh, this thing? Oh, I don't know.
So Andy obviously won a tenner off me with Bronby beating Norgeland. Although it's not the result we either of us thought would happen. I thought a draw and Andy thought Norgeland would win.
Yeah, see it 1-0. At 1-0, the charity bet was worth like £125, and at 1-0 to Bronby, we were getting offered like £75 to cash out. But I know Andy's rule. Andy's rule is in charity we do not cash out. So
we
didn't do it. And to be honest, see it 1-0, there's still a good chance of the draw happening.
Yeah, and Bronby, Norgeland. Yeah. I don't know what happened to them. They just couldn't. It's that they just couldn't.
I mean, they're both pretty good teams.
Yeah.
The end of the day. The way the Danish league splits is you've now got six teams that just play each other continuously over and over and over again, and they're all pretty good. I'd say probably Copenhagen and Midtjylland are better. Then you've got Norgeland and Brøndby, and then you've got the other two. You've got Aarhus and Aalborg. So there's like we two groups. So there's some that are elite level, some that are. And those two are pretty equally matched. My charity bet came in. It was both teams to score in the Werder Bremen versus Cologne game. I didn't think that game would yield 7 goals. that was a bit mad. But yeah, that came in at odds 8-50.
And mine was Villa. It was Wolves away to Villa.
That was a great price.
It came exactly as it was going to do as well later on in the game. But yeah, so another week. What's that, the fifth week in a row, 2 out of 3 in the charity bet?
Every week since lockdown has ended. The German football's come back. We have been 2 out of 3 in the charity bet. So
hopefully this week, we do better.
Yeah.
Probably mine, because my charity pick this week is a huge odd shout.
Massive. Yes, massive.
We'll see.
So we have like a weird reintroduction to Scots Abroad now that Italian football's resumed. So we had Liam Henderson, who is at Hellas Verona, but he's on loan at Empoli in Serie B. He's played twice. Draws with Pescara and Benevento 1-1 and 0-0. They're still 2 points outside relegation zone. He started both games. He finished the first one and came off after 70 odd minutes in the second one, struggling to find highlights. Rachel Corsi out in America, they've started the Cup Championship to start there. So they kind of do what Scotland does with the League Cup, the Betfred League Cup kind of being your pre-season kick-off to get friendlies underway. They do 3-each with Houston Dash. She played the full 90 minutes, so not seen the highlights yet. It was only last night, but she's playing right back, so cut some slack. Like she's not playing centre half. But I think probably the biggest news in Scots Abroad is Fraser Hornby has officially left Everton now and joined Reims in France, who are currently fifth in Ligue 1. If PSG go on to win the Cup, they will be in the Europa League. So we get a bit excited this time last year, I think, when Jack Harper had signed for Getafe. Who are also in the Europa League. but then was immediately loaned out to someone else.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get too excited until
they made a big deal about him joining. So it doesn't. It's not like.
But so did we. Like Jack.
No, they made a big deal about him joining. Is what I mean. Like so, it was all over their social media. He's kind of a marquee signing there, but getting someone from a Premier League club. Admittedly, shit Premier League, but a Premier League club. So I get great hope for him. It's a win-win for me. He plays for a club I now like, and a league I like.
And a league that's on a channel that I watch, so I'll be able to at least watch him in some games.
Yeah.
But as Scotland under 21's main striker, it's only good for us. If he's playing in any league, playing Europa League, I mean, he's going to probably, see if he's playing regularly in the French Ligue 1 and playing the Europa League for this team, he's very quickly not going to be the under 21 striker anymore.
He'll be.
He's going to be in the main squad because Ollie Buck's still getting called up to the main squad and not playing well with Alaves.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed, we're also going to try and chase him down like fuck for an interview because that's pretty good news for us. We've done Jordan Hallsgrove's interview, which will be out in 2 weeks. He has been denied an extension to his loan. So he was out at CD Belerith and they won the Segunda B Division 1. So they now go into a playoff with Group 2, 3 and 4, semi-finals, final, to get into La Liga 2. But they've denied him, Reading have denied him permission to go back on loan because he just overcame an injury and they weren't ready for the start of the season. So he is not going back. But he has won the title. He's just not going to be part of the playoffs. I can't think of any. There was a weird one, actually. Byron Hutchison, who does he does Bundesliga England social media, right? So that's his full-time job. Scottish boy that lives out in Germany. Might actually get him on a Scots Abroad just to discuss what he does.
Hi, that'd be interesting.
But he flagged up yesterday. There was a goalkeeper called, I think it's Bobby Allan, who is...
I don't know.
He played for Clyde when he was younger. I think he's half Scottish. But he played for Olympiacos last night. He's never played international football, so he started in goal for Olympiacos last night. They won 2-1, and he is eligible to play for Scotland. So that might be another Scots abroad we need to just have a wee look at, because if he's playing for Olympiacos, he's obviously not a terrible goalkeeper.
Yeah. Well, that one we discussed, that guy I know who's out playing in Iceland, he's scored 3 weeks in a row now, having played in the Icelandic second division from Njarðvík. He's banging them in. I can get odds in those games. They won away, it was like 13-10 they were away from home. So, I mean, obviously can't get one to be a goal scorer, but can certainly bet on the games.
Yeah, Bobby Allan, half French, half Scottish, played for Clyde early on in his career, but he's been in France most of the rest of his career. But yeah, a potential Scots abroad, depending on what happens.
I just spell his surname.
A-L-L-A-I-N. But yeah, that's pretty much Scots abroad, but we're going to have to be updating you because Liam Henderson's playing like every 3-4 days just now. Like we said, Rachel Cawsey and Claire Emsley will be back playing. It looks like the Australian League's maybe coming back, so Ziggy Gordon will be returning. Loads of stuff going on, loads of interviews coming out, but that was Scots abroad. Now on to this week's picks. I'll go first. I feel like every time I pick a banker, I'm getting more and more nervous with it because the longer this goes on, I feel like it was when Arsenal went 49 games unbeaten. Like the closer we got to that 50, you were kind of starting to panic a wee bit.
Yeah.
But I'm going for a banker in the Man U Bournemouth game. I'm going in the first half for anyone to score a goal, at least a goal, is 1-3 in the first half. Three league games since Man U came back have done it. Bournemouth's had two league games, but Bournemouth are shipping goals at an astronomical rate. They're absolutely dreadful. They are just plummeting into the championship. The only way Bournemouth will avoid this if teams are just so much worse than them. That's the only way I can see them avoiding this, is if teams in and around them just don't win any more games. I just don't see how they stay up. Callum Wilson's injured. Ryan Fraser's now out of contract.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. They're really, really, really going to struggle. I kind of want them to, because I actually think Mikel Arteta said something about Arsenal about wanting an experienced left-footed centre-half from the Premier League who was good on the ball. And I think Bournemouth and Nathan Ake probably have someone that potentially has a relegation release clause as well.
Yeah.
So I'm like kind of fingers crossed and going like, could we get Nathan Ake for like 10, 15 million at the end of this season if they plummet down? So I think he'd be perfect for the way Arsenal are trying to play just now. Really, really, really enjoying actually watching Arsenal, and they feature on one of my picks after that.
My banker this week, I am in the Dritte Liga in Germany for their final match day. It's Kaiserslautern versus Bayern 2. I'm going to take over 1.5 goals in that game. The markets aren't out yet. The win markets, the 1x2 isn't even out yet. Bayern are top. They basically win and they win the league. So they go up as champions. Both these teams have now played 11 games since Germany brought football back. And in those 22 games total, the only time that over 1.5 goals hasn't happened was a 1-0 Kaiserslautern away win at Magdeburg. So you're talking 21 other games that have all had two or more goals in them. With the way I think Bayern will just come out, just try and put this to bed nice and early. I mean, if they lose this game, there is a chance they don't get promoted. It's really tight at the top of the Dritte Liga just now. They're on 65 points, Braunschweig on 64, and Würzburger Kickers on 63. So you don't want to come thirds and be involved in playoffs. You just want to win, get it done, and they should come out with the same attitude that they've had in all the games. Also, Bayern 2 concede goals.
Yes,
so
they do.
So Kaiserslautern can add to that goal tally in there. I definitely think over 1.5. I think you might get some decent odds on it. It'll be our normal sort of banker range. I think that's the game to go for.
Yeah, both teams, the scores happened in Bayern 2's last five away games as well.
Yeah.
So some absolute belting picks. I think it'd be 1-5, 1-6 for this because it's like over 3.5. Bayern's games average over 3.5 goals. Kaiserslautern average just over 3 goals. So
yeah,
there's no way this is a dull game, and it's no way it's a 0-0.
Yeah, and having like Bayern 2, I'm pretty sure I took them both teams to score a couple of weeks ago, and that came in a game in like 10 minutes.
Aye.
Like yeah. They were, it was one each. But yeah, that's a good pick. I like it, Andy. I am in the Serie A for the, for my banker pick. It is Juventus versus Torino. I'd like to use a comparison here about those little milk boys, Lecce. So the Juventus absolutely scudded Lecce. It's the first game they had back, 4-0. Torino got beat with them 4-0. So there is they conceded 4, Juve scored 4. The last 5 away games for Torino have been losses. They've lost the last 5 games, 4-2, 2-1, 1-0, 4-0, 4-2. They're not very good away from home. Juve can put a bit of distance between themselves. There's still a chance Lazio will catch them, and there's still a chance Inter can get at them as well. Juve are in 72 points, Lazio are in 68, and Inter are in 64. I think this is a really clean-cut Juve win. 2-7 is the price for it. Torino haven't been very good. I watched the game against Caligari, in which they lost 4-2 and didn't get a man sent off or anything. Happy with Juve at home, 2-7.
I also like in that game Juventus 2-0 at 4-1.
Now that is indicative of the correct score being 4-1. Like, yeah,
2-0. At Juve, to me, I really don't think Juve break teams down well enough. The way they play football, it's a totally disjointed team. Just trying to cram Ronaldo into it doesn't make any sense. They need a better centre forward who's going to play as a centre forward to suit players like Dybala and Ramsey playing around them, but they will score enough goals and win 2-0. On 2-0 at 41 is really good odds. I was actually going to put a correct score as one of my outsiders, but
you correct score 4-1.
You'd already picked the banker, so I moved away.
But yeah, so to recap the bankers then, I've got Juve at 2-7. Andy?
Over 1.5 goals in Kaiserslautern versus Bayern 2.
And Man U Bournemouth, over 0.5 goals in the first half is 1-3. Value pick, Wolves versus Arsenal, over 1.5 goals, second half, 13-10. I called Arsenal's second half against Norwich the same way, similar odds, 13-10. Arsenal's second half since returning have been 2-2, 1-3, and 2. So there will be goals in Arsenal games. Yeah, so I should get 4 out of the 5 games. Arsenal leak goals. Wolves have looked better as games have went on in every game they've returned. I know they only scored 1 goal against Bournemouth and 1 against Villa, but they have been playing better in the second half, so they will come at them. Arsenal Even against Norwich, they had times in the second half where Martinez had to bail them out, but it ended up being a really comfortable 4-0 win, 2 goals in the second half. I can't see this game. You really need this game if you're going to be betting. You need this game only to have to be 0-0 or a goal in it at half-time.
Yeah.
So 0-0 or 1-0 means that both teams have to kind of come out and play their same game. I just don't, even with Arsenal keeping a couple of clean sheets in the last three, I still don't see Arsenal not conceding goals. And I don't see them not scoring the way they're playing just now. So yeah, any 2 goals, at least in the second half, is 13 to 10.
That's pretty big.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. My value, I'm in Denmark. This game's on Sunday at 5 p.m. UK time. Aalborg versus Brøndby. I'll take the away team. Brøndby at nearly 2-1, so 17 to 10 just now on Bet365. If you shop around, you can probably get better than that. Spoke about it already. Brøndby beat North Zealand 2-0 last week. Looked pretty good in doing so. Aalborg were absolutely rotten in the Danish Cup final last night, on Wednesday night. Their main centre forward, Lucas Anderson, went off injured after half an hour, which I presume is bad, because you don't take your centre forward off in a cup final if he's going to be fit again to play in like a day's time. So if he's like, they looked absolutely toothless without him. And that game could have lasted a million minutes. So he got subbed off in the 41st minute, which was actually the 30th minute, because the ref suspended the game because the crowd wasn't social distancing well enough.
That's basically, it sounds like a PE teacher was running this game. Hey, just fucking settle that. Get me that ball. I'll take that.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. The Aalborg fans behind the goal in the top tier weren't far enough apart from each other, so he just took all the players off the pitch for 15 minutes. anyway, Aalborg have been pretty rank. They had a 4-1 win against Aarhus a couple of weeks ago, but that's the only game they've won in their last five. They've lost all the other four. 2-0, 2-0, 4-0 and 2-0. So they're having problems scoring goals. It's very likely that their main centre forward is going to be unavailable. Just nothing looks good for them just now. So I think there's lots of value in Brøndby at odds of 17 to 10.
Big outsider. Yeah, big value, sorry. It's almost an outsider.
Big value.
Okay, I am again in the Serie A. This is Lazio versus AC Milan, and I will raise you. Lazio have played 25 games at home on like a flash score, right? Oh, you can't see it because of my green screen here. They've played 25 home games on flash score. They have lost one. It was against Celtic. The rest of them, so the only draws they've got in there are with Atalanta, Roma and Bologna and Verona. The rest of the games have been wins. So they've won 20 games out of 25 at home. They take on AC Milan, who I watched the other night against Spal, who were rubbish. Spal get two men sent off. Or what? They got a man sent off.
Man and the manager.
They get a man and the manager sent off and went up 2-0 against AC Milan. Held that and eventually conceded to 2-2. AC Milan haven't been good. Both teams need to win this game. I think Lazio are going to be able to do it ahead of them. Lazio need to keep chasing Juve. So I think both teams will get wins. AC Milan don't really look very... I don't know. I've watched them a couple of times and they look a bit disjointed. They don't seem to have that kind of clinical nature that the rest of the... Well, Lazio certainly have. Having watched a few of their games as well. 13 to 10 you're getting for Lazio to beat AC Milan. I think that's a nice price, and I think it's very much fits into our value column there. I mean, if you're giving you over even money on a team that win 20 games out of their 25 home games, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
I think the only thing on that is, I've just looked at that, I think Ciro Mobley's suspended.
Yes.
Who's been pretty much solely responsible for most of their goals. That was my only thing. See, even AC Milan, seeing that Spal game, see that, like, I think I'd said to you is that I put money on them to draw when they were 2-0 down after the sending off. AC Milan fucking battered them. If they had scored before the 80th minute, they would have won that game 3-2, 4-2 comfortably as well. But I mean, AC Milan's like, so they beat Roma, beat Lecce away, they do 0-0 with Juve in the cup final. I don't know if I like this one. I think there'll be goals in it because I didn't see any evidence either team could defend in the last games I've watched. But I don't know. I think the Italian league's pure hard. I think outside the like Juventus, I can't really find anyone to consistently back.
Well, Lazio have won the last two meetings of these teams, and it was away from home then. They won 2-1 and 1-0. I still think they're going to have enough to beat AC Milan. And I know they've got those draws in there, but haven't seen, I'd say Lazio are very similar to Inter, and Inter beat AC 4-2. So that was another comparison I made. But I think 13 to 10, again, is a big price for a home team that doesn't lose many games. You know, that's a big old green stripe they've got down there. But yeah, with Immobile out, I'll have to have a wee look actually at who they're going to play up front now.
Yeah, because Casado, who would come in for
Yeah, I was just having a look.
He's also out as well.
I don't know the Italian Serie A well enough.
I just don't like against it.
I like it. Do you have any AC Milan memorabilia you can wear for the video next week, John?
No, I had AC Milan tops, but I gave away all my football tops like after a couple of years, just to like, you know, when you've always get people asking for tops to send over to Africa and that. So yeah. Like guys with like a Carlos Bacca number 80 top. Or a guy with a Flamini 84 top on the back.
I always wondered why, like, when you see the kind of like those people, they're always wearing Arsenal tops, and is it just you?
Just me.
It's just you single handedly kitting out half of Malawi in like Matthew Flamini top.
Five Arsenal tops and a random Rangers top from 2007 with Fleck 53 in the back.
But yeah, so that's my value bet.
Yeah, so the values were Lazio Milan, you fancy Lazio at home, and Albert Bromby, you fancy Bromby away, and I'm going Wolves v Arsenal, two goals, or at least two goals in the second half. Really good odds, actually, in all of those, though.
Yeah, that'll be a big treble.
My outsider is in the English Championship on Saturday, Stoke versus Barnsley. I'm taking the away team, Barnsley, at 9-4. Barnsley have played three games since the return. They've won 2-0, drawn 0-0, and won 1-0. Stoke have conceded 6 and scored 1, so they've lost 2 and drawn 1. They've lost their last 2, 3-0 and 2-0, so the 3-0 defeat to Wigan was one that you called as an outsider on the...
Huge on that.
That's a team in administration that is probably going to get relegated, and they easily beat Stoke.
Yep.
Did you see that tweet... The Rangers and Wigan's fans that was funny as fuck. It's like some Wigan fan was giving a Rangers fan it tight like 3 days before, like about how the fact that Rangers had folded and all that. And the guy just replied 3 days later, like, mate, your club's in administration. Like, you can't come back with that.
So I'm sure Old Firm Facts retweeted it, and I'm sure it was actually the initial ones within the space of like 3 hours.
Oh, really?
And it's like the guy going, why the fuck would Rangers fans buy all their strips and season tickets? They're going to be administration again. And then it was like an hour later, it was the Sky Sports saying Wigan are now administration. And then it was that guy's profile, which had a Wigan, it likes a Wigan supporter inside it, and just his tweet again.
Yeah, amazing.
I can't even talk about administration anymore. I'm interviewing Barry Smith after this, and obviously he's been at Dundee during administration as a player. And a manager. And as a manager, actually got Dundee promoted because Rangers got liquidated and they took their spot in the league.
Can't
talk anymore about football finances. Outsiders?
Yeah, Friday, 8 p.m, Benevento away at Crotone. So, Crotone versus Benevento. I'm taking the away team. It's a 2 in the column. Away from home win. 4-1. If you get Benevento at 4-1 against anyone in the same league as them, you should be just taking that all day. Crotone probably need to win, Benevento don't, that's the thing, but they're useless. They couldn't even beat Ascoli at the weekend despite being 1-0 up going into the final 10 minutes.
And Ascoli have been dreadful.
Yeah, they are dreadful. Benevento's just really no sign down. They continue to win. I think they beat Juve Stavia at the weekend there 1-0, which doesn't sound a lot, but it does when they played most of the game with 10 men and still went and won 1-0.
Yeah, they scored after they get the man sent off. It wasn't as if they held out a lead.
That's just Benevento. They're just head and shoulders above the rest of that league. So getting 4-1 on them, I'll take that every day. And if it doesn't cut in, I'll shrug my shoulders and go, yeah, well, they were 4-1.
C'est la vie.
I like it. I really like it a lot. I don't see how Crotone beat them. I honestly don't, man. I just don't see it.
Unless, I mean, there's no news yet that Benevento are doing anything weird or playing a youth team or anything like that. There's nothing like that. So get it on as soon as you can at 4-1, because surely that will shorten.
Even like Crotone's results since returning, they've drawn with two teams like well on the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
So I just don't see it. Even if they brought players in.
How much against Ascoli. They were bad.
Yeah, right. Okay. They weren't.
And see, when you're saying like, oh, I don't know if I can see any Benevento news, I think we're pretty high up on the Benevento news scale. Like, like if you Google,
like, if someone is going to know about it.
It would be us. Okay, so I am in Spain for my draw and the outsider. This is Numancia versus Extremadura. And this is another team who just, oh my God, they've drawn their last three away games, one each. Their last three away games since return. Their two pre-games before that have been 2-2 draws, 2-2 and a 0-0 draw. They've drawn the last six away games in a row. I don't know. I wish I could get this. because my screen has the background here, I can't quite show it. But yeah, the last six away games they've drawn. This is a relegation battle, right, of two terrible teams. Two terrible teams that are one each draw in. It's just, yeah. Like, I think 2-1 for this outsider. It's a shorter price outsider than I've given. It's almost the same price as Andy's value here. But having the last five games drawn, since Numancia have came back as well, their home games, they lost 2-1 to Cadiz and they beat Real Oviedo 1-0. So they haven't been scoring many goals. I think this is going to be a one-each draw. And the odds on a one-each draw are kind of... You get the idea that the bookies think that this might be heading towards a one-each draw as well, considering the odds are 4-1. So
yeah,
it's 2-1 for a draw.
You'll correct for 4-1. Yeah.
So I've got Numancia versus Extremadura, one each draw, 4-1, but the real draw, 2-1.
It stinks of a draw to me as well.
Yeah.
This week's charity picks, so £10 of our own money on a treble. If it comes in, the profit goes to charity, which is Beats and Cancer Trust. If it doesn't come in, the tenner goes anyway. I'm in La Liga, Celta versus Real Betis. Both teams to score is 4-5 in William Hill. Four of the last five meetings between both each other have had both teams to score. Celta's home games average 2.6 goals. Betis away games average 3 goals. Obviously, that's just the over-under market. But just by those goals as a estimate on how the goals have been since coming back, I just reckon this will be a goal fest. I really do. Celta's last two games have had both teams to score as well. Both teams capable of scoring, both teams shite at defending, both teams to score 4-5.
Magic, love it. I did tip Celta to be under 2.5 goals on a midweek podcast the other week, and they lost 5-1.
Still both teams to score though.
Aye, that is.
For my charity pick, the J-League is back. Big fanfare. Gary adding some cool special effects.
Everybody, football bonanza.
We're back in with football in Japan, which must have been the weirdest lockdown of any league because they played one game in February and then locked it down till now. So the resuming league played one match. Hiroshima currently sit top of that league after one game. They beat the Kashima Antlers 3-0 on opening day, which is a big result because the Antlers are good.
They are.
Kobe, they drew with Yokohama on opening day, so it's a bit of a. Hiroshima have been consistently quite good the last couple of years, though. That's the thing to note. They managed to finish last season in sixth, which is probably not as good as they should have been, considering they were higher up for most of that and then tailed off towards the end of the season. But they're back, impressed with them against the Antlers. It's a bit of a coin flip. I'm just happy that Japanese football's back. You can watch this on Saturday at 11:30 on Rakuten Sports, which is an app. You'll be able to probably find it through YouTube if you want. And Hiroshima are 2-1. I just think that's quite a nice big price for a team that's better than Kobe, or should be better than Kobe. Although it's obviously the first game back and anything can happen. I like the 2-1 price. If you fancy watching some Japanese football on telly, The Osaka Derby is on at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Gamba Osaka versus Cerezo Osaka. And that'll just be fun. It's just nice. I really like Japanese football. I've got a lot of time for it. I think it's very entertaining. So that's the TV. And then the Rakuten Sports app shows games live as well. So hopefully you'll be able to watch Hiroshima beat Kobe at odds of 2-1.
It gives you a chance to crack out that old chant, there's only one team in Osaka, for whoever wins. But yeah, so we have final charity pick here. I am in Turkey. I'm in the Super League, and it's Kasımpaşa versus Sivasspor. Now, Kasımpaşa have been the form team the last five games they've won in a row. The last four home games they've won in a row, and they are the form team in this league. They've beat some pretty impressive opposition in there as well. They beat Fenerbahçe 2-0. They beat Yeni. They beat Göztepe. They beat Kayserispor. They've been really, really good. Their last proper doing away from home, their last proper doing at home came against Galatasaray, which you can kind of excuse them for. They play against a Sivasspor team that's been average. They drew with Konyaspor, they lost Antalyaspor, they beat Ankaragücü 3-0, and they lost to Trabzonspor. I think Kasımpaşa on a bit of a roll here. Their home team you're going to get at 13-10 here. So that's quite a large price for a team that are in form. The away team are 2-1. I can't really see why. I know we've talked about the home advantage, but so the away advantage at the moment, the home advantage not really being there. But for the form team and to have won your last four home games, 13-10 is a big price. They're not playing against any opposition that are, you know, threatening to do anything.
Yeah.
Sivasspor are quite comfortably in the third position. They can't catch Trabzonspor. They've got to stay ahead of Galatasaray, but 13-10.
Yeah, I'm all right with it. Like, I don't know enough at Sivasspor, but they seem to have drawn a lot of games in the three since returning. So
yeah,
13-10. I mean, that's quite big odds then for the charity. So charity, you'll get Celta Vigo, Betis, just under evens for both teams to score. Kobe, Hiroshima, you've got what, away team Hiroshima at 2-1, and Kasımpaşa versus Sivasspor, the home team 13-10. That'll be a decent what 30.
It's about 6-1.
Yeah,
and you could probably. You can watch some of those games. They, just to say, the Japanese card coming back is incredible. They've managed to match it. It's almost as if they've gone, what's the most exciting games we can pick? You won't get a single odds on team this weekend.
Good.
Yeah, it looks really exciting, really brilliant. So
just decent.
Really happy it's back.
Yes.
Okay, anything else, guys, this week?
No, just to say, Facebook group keeps submitting stuff. It's been really good. We've had some interesting shouts this week, and a lot of people just talking about what's going on night by night as well, because there's so much football on. If you're listening to this and you're not part of the Facebook group, please join, because it's probably where the best of the podcast is, truthfully. I mean, the listening to it is very good, but the discussion is much more... even bouncing bets off people is quite interesting. Yeah. Like, the other day we were talking about both teams to scores on the group, and people were bringing up that, you know, this team's actually missing some people or various different things. So please join, search as Trample Bet Podcast on Facebook.
And the website is www.tramplebet.com. If you can, you're back at work and want to, you can support us. www.patreon.com/trampledbet. $5, $10, $15 tiers. You get different access to us. You get this video out on the $10 tier, just an extra. You get extra episodes in the $15. And the $5 really just a support for us to be involved in the original weekly podcast, which is free always, and the Facebook group. So if you can support us, we would really appreciate it. We understand right now if people can't, we're all kind of in the same situation. But yeah, Twitter handles, you can get me at JohnWalker_1986.
Get me at ASV Sports.
And you can get me at _GordoMick.
Or you can get us all on the Facebook group or at TramplePet.
Bit of extra, because Gordon jumped into that spiel before.
Oh, sorry, apologies. I didn't realise there was...
Has to say anything on the anything else. BBC Sports Personality of the Year. I've put a considerable amount of money on Marcus Rashford this week. But you can get it. But you can get it 2-1, which I think is really big.
When is it?
December.
See, my only concern is that this could be forgotten. Like, the news cycle moves so fast.
It's difficult to forget things with social media. There'll be such. I think there'll be such a campaign
for him to get it. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a way. The Fury Joshua fight is mental, though. Like, if it's the fight of the century, then there's a chance that maybe one of them get it. But at the same time, that's not the sport's personality. That's just a good boxing fight. Like, Marcus Rashford's actually done something that he's used his sporting personality to make a difference.
I don't know why. I just think the type of people that are going to vote for Tyson Fury probably aren't the type of people that vote in Sports Personality of the Year.
Probably not.
Is that because they don't know how to dial numbers on a phone?
No. I just don't think... do you know what I mean? I don't think... I don't think there'll be a campaign around them as right. to make... Whereas with what Marcus Rashford did in a political sense, I think that or interest in politics are more likely to try and make a point in a national competition than just people that like boxing.
Yeah, right. You're right.
I agree. 2-1's a big price.
So I think 2-1's a bit of a long-term investment for me. And it's far enough away that I'll have forgot. I won't miss that money now. It's gone. Mm-hmm. So I'll either lose it and not be that bothered, or I'll get a bonus right in time for Christmas.
Yes.
There's also, apparently, some bookies, I've only seen Paddy Power do a post on it, but apparently you can get Aubameyang even money to stay at Arsenal to sign a new deal. And that seems to be the way that's leaning just now. So I don't know how long that market was up for, but judging by the players on his Instagram tweeting him back and telling him to stop posting about goals and sign the contract already, and I kind of laughing faces back and forth, doesn't it really feel like it's the type of person that's ready to walk away from a club? It seems like someone who's just stalling to get as much money as possible.
Yeah.
Because it's the same as Saka. Like, Saka apparently wanted all this and he'd signed a new contract. So I think you get even money. That was yesterday. They were posting that. Yeah,
Paddy Power, did you say?
Paddy Power did, but I don't know if the market was only open for X amount of time, but it was even money. I'm sure you could probably go find the specials on the next club, and Arsenal will still be one of them.
Cool.
But yeah, that is the podcast. Have a good weekend.
Happy hunting.
Bye.
Podcast Network. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.